American folk music has a history and lyrical content entrenched in political activism, made popular by 60s icons like Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan. As the 60s gave way to the 70s, punk musicians continued mixing politics and musicians, extending their art to a way of life. Folk punk, a contemporary of these musical movements, combines musical and lyrical elements of folk with the energy of punk rock. Baltimore-based writer, activist, and songwriter Ryan Harvey identifies with this hybrid genre. Harvey is influenced by 60s folk musicians like Phil Oakes, whose music has a journalistic and political resonance. Similarly, Harvey grew up listening to politically motivated bands like Crass and Conflict, in addition to Rancid and local Baltimore punk. His music is rooted in his politics and strikes an emotional and motivating chord. For him, punk communicates the energy and anger of its day. In addition to practicing his art with a political edge, Harvey writes about music and media on his own blog and has published articles in the local progressive Baltimore paper, The Independent Reader. He's also contributed to such publications as The Nation, Common Dreams, and ZNet, and also works for the nonprofit organization the Civilian Soldier Alliance that works alongside GIs for progressive and just foreign policy, and he's part of the Riot Folk Collective. He's in Southern California and joins me now in studio. Welcome to Uprising, Ryan.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks so much for joining us. Mm-hmm. Well, we're excited to have you in here because you're going to be sharing some of your music with us. But tell us a little bit, first of all, about where, what informs your music, not just the politics, but even the musical influence. Mm-hmm.
Politically, I'm a political organizer, and I've been doing that since I was about 15, and music is just an extension of that for me. It's an outlet, obviously, an emotional outlet, an artistic outlet, but it's also part of the work. It's part of the putting my message out. Musically, it's everything from folk music, like you mentioned, Phil Oakes, to punk rock, to hip-hop. I don't think a lot of the folk musicians you hear today, especially us younger folks, are clearly, you can't listen to it and not hear hip-hop and punk influences. It's all over the place.
Well, let's not just talk about it. Can you share with our listeners one of your songs? You were in Wisconsin earlier this year during the uprising, if you will, in Wisconsin, and you have a song about that. Well, of course, all of that was happening while the Arab Spring was unfolding.
I do. I have a song about both those. Actually, Tom Morello, who lives right up the street here, texted me and said, go to Wisconsin. So I went to Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
It was a good idea, and this was inspired by the events there, but also by a sign that was hanging up inside the Capitol there while we were occupying it that said, I want Scott Walker to know that he's not just dealing with the people of Wisconsin, he's dealing with the people of the world, and that had been a Facebook message from a student in Cairo who had taken time to send that message. So I wrote this song about it. This goes out to the folks in Syria. It spread to Egypt, they were walking like Tunisians there. It spread to Egypt, they were walking like Tunisians there. And that spirit blew across Libya, and it ended up in Tahrir Square. Then it spread to Yemen, they were walking like Egyptians there. It spread to Bahrain, they're walking like Egyptians there. And that spirit blew across the Red Sea, and it ended up in Pearl Square. And it's an open door, but you only get what you go for. Then it spread to Wisconsin, they were walking like Egyptians there. It spread to Wisconsin, they were walking like Egyptians there. And that spirit blew across the Atlantic, and it ended up in Capitol Square. And it's an open door, but you only get what you go for. That spread to Syria, they're walking like Egyptians there. And that spread to Spain, they're walking like Egyptians there. 'Cause that spirit's blown across the whole world, it could end up anywhere. but it's an open door, and you only get what you go for.
And that's Ryan Harvey playing for our listeners a song about Wisconsin, the Arab Spring. There's a lot going on there. Thank you very much for sharing that with our listeners. Did you write that while you were in Wisconsin or when you came back?
I wrote it right when I got back.
Yeah. And how much of your music do you think plays a similar role to the way in which music played a role in the 1960s? Because we, you know, there was a time when people really connected what was happening in the streets with the words of Bob Dylan. Do you see that sort of stuff happening today?
I think it's in a different way because I think we don't have as much access to mainstream media as I think the folk musicians of the 60s did.
Right. Bob Dylan was being played on commercial radio.
Yeah. And there's fewer of us. They're still out there. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely fewer of us. And I think my sort of genre of music exists a lot more, not in the underground music world as much in the underground world in general. I just put out my 13th album.
Wow.
And who knew, you know? So there's definitely a vibrant – people ask me and people say, where are all the musicians? In the 60s, there are all these musicians. And I tell them, we're all over the place. There's tons of us.
On the one hand, it's harder to be an independent musician because of lack of access to mainstream media. On the other hand, it's more accessible today to make music does not require – to make quality music does not require access to a high-end studio and thousands of dollars.
Which is why I have 13 albums. Yeah, I mean, you just sit down and record it and put it online.
But just because of the technologies that are available.
Yeah.
And so how do you sort of navigate that as an independent musician in this modern day?
The Riot Folk Collective, of which I'm part of, we formed in 2004. We immediately put everything we've ever recorded online for free download, 100% free download. Part of that means that we have very little money.
Right.
But the other part means I go play shows places and people know my lyrics. People know the songs. And a lot of people have been influenced by our music because it's right up there.
So making music isn't about making money?
No. It can be a useful aspect of it if we want to plan future releases, if we want to plan tours, if we want to do benefits for organizations. But we've always put – I mean, it's always been about the meaning behind the music first, for sure.
And so how do people like you survive? I mean, you know, you're able to share your music. You have a deep political bent. It's clearly something that is with a populist undertone like folk musicians of past eras. Do you basically live on the road?
Well, I'm on the road right now for 3 months. This is the longest tour actually I've ever done. Mm-hmm. But up until a month ago, I was working construction for money in Baltimore. I've done that for years. Most of us work.
Day jobs.
Yeah, day jobs. A lot of the story is you work and then you quit your job and you go on tour for 2 months and then you come home and you find another job. My new album was totally funded through Kickstarter, through supporters.
And I want to ask you about that because a lot of musicians are now relying on that sort of thing. And also about the Riot Folk Collective. Is it easier to do it with a group of people rather than in an isolated way?
Yes, totally. Mm-hmm. And we were – I don't want to say we were the first of our kind, but we were one of the first of these like music collectives. I don't even know how to define that still, and it's been, 7 years. But we share a logo, we share a brand, and we share name recognition, and that gets all of us a lot more I don't say attention, but a lot of people find the music because of that, I think.
Well, you also have a song called Ordinary Heroes that you said you were going to share with us. So if you can play that for our listeners, and then I'll follow that up with some more questions that I want to ask you.
Yeah, and this is the title track to my new CD, and it's a song I wrote right after Howard Zinn passed away, and it's dedicated to Howard Zinn. We're standing on the shoulders of people who sat and stood and fought and sacrificed their lives at times so that we'd be better off. I'm talking about ordinary people whose courage held them through. We need many Harriet Tubmans and we need many Sojourner Truths, ordinary heroes. In the fields of California and the mines in Trinidad grew a spirit of justice
that spread across the nation and lit a fire that burns so bright that it still brings people hope. We need many Cesar Chavez's and we need many Mother Jones's, ordinary heroes, ordinary heroes, ordinary heroes. Great changes don't come about from some mystical twist of luck. They're the fruits of people sweating and stressing and never giving up. It takes a lot of hard work and commitment to lift every voice and sing. We need many Ella Bakers and we need many Martin Luther Kings. Ordinary heroes, ordinary heroes, ordinary heroes. We're standing on the shoulders of people who put a lot of hard work in and passed along their trials and errors to future generations. And the stories that we pass along will be the things that keep us in. We need many Woody Guthries and we need many Howard Zinns. Ordinary heroes, ordinary heroes, ordinary heroes.
Ordinary Heroes by my guest Ryan Harvey in studio live here at KPFK. So Howard Zinn was very much loved here on KPFK. And he died here in Southern California. We did a lot of tributes to him. How did he influence your music?
Oh my God. He's influenced so many people's music. I read People's History. That was one of the first books that I can say that I read front to back. And I dropped out of high school, so mm-hmm. I was really bored with books that I was supposed to be reading in school, and I picked that up. And that's an intimidating book to look at, you know, before you
sure.
open it. But I read that while I was traveling across the country when I was younger. And, I mean, that totally turned me on to history, and I tell stories on a regular basis, you know.
Do you feel that your music is as much a part of political activism as somebody holding a sign on a street corner or signing a petition?
Sure. I mean, as much as anything else, I think music and art, and not just my music, but all, you know, all forms of artistic expression with a political intent, I think is so integral. Mm-hmm. I think political movements that don't have a strong cultural artistic component, I don't know how far they go. Mm-hmm. I think it's very integral.
So let's go back to the conversation we were having earlier, which is how one makes music in today's day and age as an independent musician. You mentioned you use Kickstarter to basically help start your latest CD. And how has that sort of technology and infrastructure online helped musicians like yourself, bring together a sort of a public collective effort into making music?
Yeah, well, I think there's way more music available today, which some people get annoyed by, especially people who want to be the top musician in their field or whatever. And a lot of it's just up to chance, you know, and I think it's actually democratized music and art a lot more, for better or for worse, however, whatever your scale of judgment is. But, you know, a lot of musicians that we hear today are more popular in their passing than they were in their prime, you know. And I think today, just a lot more people are being heard by a lot more people. And I say the more the merrier, you know. It's so easy. You can record an album in a day and have it being heard by the next day.
Tell us about your upcoming gigs. You're going to be in Santa Barbara, where we are heard on 98.7 FM.
Cool. Well, tonight I will be in Venice at a spot called Beyond Baroque at 681 Venice Boulevard. That's at 7:30 tonight. And tomorrow night I will be at the Isla Vista Food Co-op right outside of Santa Barbara there at 6575 Seville Road. That's at 8 o'clock.
So tonight in Venice at Beyond Baroque, tomorrow in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. And we will post that information on our website, uprisingradio.org, later today as well. Is there a website you'd like to give out?
Yeah, my website is ryanharveymusic.com. I have my tour dates up there. I have my CDs available, downloads available, and other updates. I'm about to be touring Europe as well. All those dates are posted up there.
Well, let me ask you briefly, how is your music received outside the United States?
It's wild. I mean,
really?
Especially, yeah, I haven't toured anywhere but Europe. I toured Europe once, but a friend just toured and said, hey, everyone in Europe was saying, when are you going to come over, you know? Because of the free downloads. I mean, people know the music and, you know, the fusion of folk and punk that kind of really emerged from the U.S., whereas like a lot of the punk came from England originally. Mm-hmm. But the fusion is a really popular music. I mean, people all over the world are kind of tapping into it. It's so much like punk rock, except it's even easier in a way.
RyanHarveyMusic.com is your website. Ryan, I want to wish you the best of luck and thank you so much for joining us
today.
Thank you. Ryan Harvey is my guest. He's part of the Riot Folk Collective. We will post all of the information that we mentioned on this program on our website, uprisingradio.org, later today. You can also get it via our Daily Digest email. Also visit RyanHarveyMusic.com. This is Uprising. When we come back, we'll go to Somalia. Stay tuned.